To the Rebel Wireless Hotline we go now to talk with Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. And, Doug, I think one of the afterthoughts of this draft, and it was a main thought going into it, how the Browns would handle potentially quarterback situation, if it would be something they'd address, pick somebody up along the line, even if it wasn't a first-round pick. The fact is they go through the entire draft without signing a QB. I know they can still do something possibly in the free agent market between now and the start of the training camp, but bottom line is I think they've put all their focus on getting Brandon Weeden ready to be the starter of this team.
Yeah, it sure looks that way, and I think, you know, he deserves another year to find out, you know, exactly how he's going to function, especially when you think that the North Turner Chud offense is probably more suitable to what he does. And I think, you know, you'll see a growth in Brandon Weeden. And I, you know, with that, you know, the way they handled the draft, they got themselves pretty much in position for next year. If things, you know, don't work out, they can make a move to, you know, get the top quarterback. But I think, you know, Brandon Weeden with a year under his belt and more comfortable with the skilled position players around him and a healthy Trent Richardson will, you know, take a big step this year.
Yeah, and it's got to do something for his confidence, too. Not that he lacked it, but I'm sure you're Brandon Weeden and you see all the change that's happening, new coach, new people making decisions, and he was essentially auditioning during the course of last year for what would likely be a new regime coming in, and he didn't have the best of seasons, and we know he struggled very much in the latter part of the year, but now he comes into this offseason maybe somewhat refreshed, and now that this draft is over, I would think that to some degree, and as you said, this could all change next year, but there's at least temporarily a weight lifted from him.
Yeah, and I think the fact that, you know, he did some self-analysis in the offseason and found some things that he thought were probably detrimental to, you know, what he was trying to accomplish in regards to patting the football and getting back to get set up, and the fact that they'll probably run a lot more out of the shotgun than they have in years past. You know, there's just things that I think will, you know, help him, besides the experience factor of going through it last year, you know, the ability to critique oneself and, you know, find out the shortcomings and work on them.
This wasn't like a big fanfare type of acquisition by any means. The price was very low. But in the course of this draft, the Browns came out with a veteran wide receiver in Devon Bess, a slot guy. I think that for as understated a move as this was, it could prove to be really critical to how things go with Brandon Weeden and this offense. And my point is that you've got some more experience that you didn't have in the receiving corps, number one. And number two, at that slot position where you're running those critical routes that allow you to pick up the first down, those big third down catches that the quarterback needs to look for. And, you know, on a consistently reliable basis, Brandon Weeden didn't have that. And the Browns really haven't had that. Devon Bess could provide that.
Well, yeah, they you know, obviously didn't have a lot of years experience at, you know, wide receiver, and then you get a guy that's caught, I think, an average of 60-some passes over the last 4 years. That's a big plus for you, and you just hope he's, you know, as productive as Wes Welker was when, you know, New England plucked him out of Miami a few years ago. And, I mean, I don't think you're going to see those kind of numbers, but, you know, it's nice to have somebody when in doubt you go to and can get you the first downs and keep the football.
Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Doug, the offensive line was not addressed in any major way. The final pick of the draft, Garrett Gilkey from Chadron State, was brought aboard, and he'll be obviously a guy, a project, whatever, who is going to possibly provide depth, or at the very least just give them someone else to have in the mix for rotations and training camp. But there was a lot of talk that this team needed interior line help, find somebody to help them upgrade at guard. They clearly have made the conclusion they can, and I'm going to say get by, but I think it's more than that, that they can be comfortable enough with this line going forward without any major change right now.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, the fact that Jason Pinkston appears to be, you know, able to come back is a big plus for him. And, you know, you look at the way LaValle has played. If he can get, his third year in the league, you know, as a starter, he should have a better feel, you know, for the game. And I think, you know, with that said, you know, there was other areas of need that they needed to go to. And, you know, obviously, you know, when you go to convert to a 3-4, you've got to get pass rushers on the outside, and they address that. And then, of course, we knew they needed a cornerback. And, you know, the McFadden kid out of San Diego State, I called Brian Sipe, and Brian said, "This, you know, you're going to love this kid. You know, he's got great instincts, and he used to drive me crazy in practice," because Brian was the quarterback coach, and he said, you know, every time we'd throw an out on his side, he'd intercept it. So, you know, when, you know, a guy that's played the game, you know, gives the guy high marks, I think that's a big plus.
Yeah, it really is. And McFadden absolutely has to, I think, make an impact. He can't be just a guy that, we'll see how he comes along and bring him along next year or whatever. I think that when you make a pick like that in the third round, when you had such a definite need at corner, and you can't obviously look at this lineup and say, no, if this doesn't work out, you just put that player there. I don't know that the Browns are in position for that. I think they've put a lot of eggs in the McFadden basket.
Yeah, and I mean, he, you know, definitely is a guy that, you know, appears to have the ability because he's got the quick feet. And, yeah, you know, you look at it and you say, we could have taken, somebody higher, but, you know, you needed a pass rusher, you know, and if you get the pass rusher, the guy doesn't have to cover quite as long. So, you know, it's you know, there's two ways to approach it, and they approach it with the idea to put heat on the quarterback first.
And I would think that it's fair to assume the heat will be turned up. I mean, if nothing else, Barkevious Mingo, I'm not saying is the finished product by any means, and I don't know that the Browns see him that way either. At 237 pounds, pretty light guy to go on that 6'4 frame, so you would have to think there's got to be some growth, development, physically, muscle added, all that. And then techniques. He's a defensive end in college who's going to be converted to an outside linebacker. There's a lot of learning that goes along with that. There's pass rush moves and all that he has to hone and develop and refine. But all that said, can't you basically turn a guy like that loose as a rookie, put him in favorable situations where it's just, hey, tear after the quarterback, and then along the way you groom him?
Yeah, it's quarterback ball, quarterback. Yeah, those are assignments. But, you know, and the thing is, he has the kind of frame. He's got the wide shoulders that can, you know, he can add some pounds. And from what I had heard from people, you know, he was a guy that, you know, hit the weight room and hit it hard. And I think, you know, anytime you get a speed rusher, the big compliment to a speed rush on the edge would be a guy that then can get you on your heels and use a power rush. So, you know, if they can build him up to, you know, another 10 pounds or so, you know, I think you're going to see a guy that's going to have a great upside.
Not much that I know we can really say about the 18 undrafted free agents that the Browns signed, because you just don't know what these guys are all about. But they can't be dismissed, Doug. You find some players in groups like these, and through the years, the NFL has always produced some gems, and the Browns in recent years have found guys who have played and been somewhat productive for them who have not been drafted. So what stands out to me, though, is how they approach this with going after five wide receivers, and this is where they went bigger with offensive linemen, with four O-linemen in this group. So it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out and who from this group can stick and you know, make a contribution.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the thing is, you know, if you can catch one or two there, you've got some great, finds. Last year we had Fort and we had Robertson, you know, guys that came in and, you know, contributed greatly. And the way these guys, you know, usually make the ball club is on special teams. And we look at Batamosi. I mean, here's a kid that you know, kind of was a mirror of Josh Cribbs on the coverage teams, and, you know, he's made a name for himself. Now he's got a chance to, you know, maybe challenge for a safety position. So, yeah, if you can get, you know, hit on one or two of these free agents, and, you know, I've seen some, and those are the guys you really pull for, the free agents, because, you know, they're just there. They're not getting a big check. They're not getting a lot of pub coming out. But, you know, that doesn't mean they don't have the heart. And I think that sometimes these kids just play so hard that they're fun to watch.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. I spoke recently with Bill Polian, the former general manager of the Colts and the Bills and the Panthers, six-time NFL Executive of the Year. The guy knows his stuff when it comes to personnel. He said that when you talk about undrafted guys, there's a heart, drive, and desire that they have that does carry over. In many cases, they were They were walk-ons in college, so no one believed in them there, and they've had that massive chip on their shoulder to carry. And the other thing is that they don't have the burden of expectation, that when you come in as a high-round draft pick, you have to live up to something. When you come in with no draft pick, no, you're not drafted at all, you are really just got a clean slate, and everything you do is just proving it.
Yeah, and I go back to, the era when I played. You get little Dino Hall, who would have thought this guy, there was times that he couldn't even get into the stadiums on game day because they didn't think he was a football player. But, he turned out to, be one of the most productive kick returners. And I played next to Robert Jackson. And, here's a guy that was a free agent out of Duke. Went there as a quarterback, and, he started for 10 or 11 years, as a guard, and he was probably one of the most consistent players we had. And, he was somebody that all of a sudden you sit there and you say, how'd they miss him in the draft?
Yeah. Well, Doug, appreciate it, and we will catch up with you again next week.
Okay.
He is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. He joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.